This is the Relevant Podcast. It's episode 1094, and this is the Relevant Podcast here in Orlando. I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and joining me once again from Loverland, Virginia, is Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
From Nashville, Tennessee, artist, producer, mogul, welcome back, Derek Miner.
What up, though?
And just down the street there in Nashville, our managing editor, downtown, Emily Brown.
Hey, y'all.
Yeah, Jesse, I'm glad to see you're back safe and sound. Listeners of last podcast know that you had to leave early. Mm-hmm. For a trip, and you went camping, and you know, I know you and camping probably not the closest of friends. You know, you probably get into some trouble. There might be some wildfires. So I'm glad to see you safe and sound. How was your camping?
Wait a minute. Well, how does camping and
because
wildfires?
He would be the one to light off fireworks. It would shoot up into the brush, and then all of a sudden, that's Jesse. I don't trust him in the wild. So
I shouldn't be.
I'm
trusting.
Just glad that Virginia's Dang. good, and you're back.
Yeah, I shouldn't be.
How was it?
I should preface. It was more of like a lakeside situation. You know, with cabins. Because I don't do tents.
Oh,
got you.
I'm not a tent.
Okay.
But you used to love Bear Grylls back in the day. I thought you were Mr. Like, let's go rough
it. I love watching Bear Grylls. It's not like I love someone else subject. I'm not going to, you know, sleep in the carcass of a elk, right?
What if your family camping trip ended where you had to sleep in the carcass of an elk?
It likely would.
Through the night?
It likely would. That's why
that's what I'm saying.
No, I had that's a bad situation.
I had to set up one of those just little like beach tent things that are basically just enough to offer shelter for your lawn chair. And that was, you know, and it had like a little tent spike and you put it in the ground so the wind didn't blow it away at the beach by this lake. That was about an hour undertaking. So, you know, if it's a full on. Yeah, I'm not even.
Yeah,
nah,
bro.
No, it
Derek, are you a Derek? Nah, are you a camper?
Bro, come on, dog.
Hey, all I know is all summer long. No. I follow your social media, and all summer long, you were doing posts to your followers like, go outside. You got to go outside, and you were like taking pictures of you in the woods.
You can go outside without camping.
Listen, I go outside for walks to parks, right? But me in a tent. With nothing, no survive. No, I can't. No.
Well, the most memorable part of the trip was, you know, this lake had. It's like those inflatable sort of like obstacle courses where it has like, you know, sort of like these monkey bars over the water, like a balance beam, sort of like the show Wipeout almost, but on the lake. It has one of those like those blobs where you can put a kid on the end and jump off a high point and your weight costs.
Did you have to pay admission to this place?
Well, it comes with, if you rent a cabin, you get access to the you know.
Wow. You were not camping.
Was there a gift shop?
Yeah, I know, right?
No
gift shop. There was a general store where you could buy sundry supplies, you know, chips and stuff, you know.
Tell me the truth. Were you at a Young Life camp? Because that sounds exactly like a Young Life camp.
Me, this was not this is more of a campground. People come here to have a really, really good time, if you know what I mean. It's a little lawless.
Why did you say it like that?
Redneck
Riviera.
A lot
of golf carts, a lot of RVs. Yeah. Like I said, I don't think law enforcement's checking in on what's going on the.
So let me get y'all. So there's outside, and then there's outside. Yeah. Y'all was outside.
Yeah. I mean, we were getting around via golf cart. We were golf carting, okay?
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Right. That's outside. Going outside. That's where y'all was at. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's true.
Y'all was outside. You feel me? Like two of them.
But either way, so they had this inflatable obstacle course thing, and like I'm sure you've seen it on like camp movies. You know what I mean? You guys get the idea in your mind of what this thing is.
Sure,
you know?
But could you describe it anyways?
Well, So it's various
Emily Petty.
Various obstacles that have awesome names, like the hammer, right? Which is basically this inflatable pyramid that's probably 20 feet high that you climb to the top of and jump off of. Or, like I said, monkey bars or like balance beams or sort of...
These are oddly exhausting. I've been on one, like in the islands, dude. Like one of those, one of the stops when you're on a cruise, you know, and like you buy the package to go do the water the water park thing.
That's the thing, because you watch all the kids out there having a fun time. You're like, hey guys, so that'd be really fun to go to. The guy who, my buddy of mine, because we went with a couple of other families, the buddy of mine who is like, frequents this campsite, you know, he's like, hey man, I'm just letting you know, it's not smart for adults to go out there. I've seen some catastrophic injuries. I'm like, give me a break, man. Look, it's on a lake.
You don't know me.
He's like, dude, I saw a guy dislocate his knee in one of the most gruesome, like...
Oh.
And so,
do you have to sign a waiver to go on it?
You do. You do. Okay. Yeah. Real talk, there was a broken neck a couple years ago and they're still paying that lawsuit out. And so everyone has waivers.
Oh my.
Anyway, there's no way I'm not doing this thing.
Of course not.
Yeah. You happily signed that waiver.
I had to hear was dislocated knee.
Done.
I might even go back to the house, like just to make sure
I don't accidentally
get on this mug.
But
Jesse, I'm like you, man. I see it. I'm like, those kids are doing it. I'm doing it too. I'm at that top of the pyramid. I'm kicking the kids off. We're playing King
that's
of the
what
Hill.
I'm
it's great.
And that stuff is going on, you know?
But I'm tossing. I literally was tossing children from the cruise off this pyramid as I was like ascending
to
the top.
The one where people break their ankles.
Yeah.
How you toss them off of it, like
into the water? Into you? You're
worried that they might break their ankle
on water? It's in the middle. It's like it's floating. Yeah. It's
so
inflatable.
How did the person break their ankle or their neck? Not on. I mean, how did that happen?
I didn't inquire too much. They were baffling to me too how it could happen.
It probably had something to do with water.
You should ask so you can know what not to do.
Dislocated knee. Maybe it might be good.
My buddy
to see
said it was
what he did so that you don't repeat the same thing.
Well, either way, there's no way I'm not doing this thing. My first jump off this platform to land on that blob that shoots a kid up in the water, you know what I'm talking about, where the kid just kind of gets flailing.
Yeah.
As soon as I hit that mat, I was like, I've made a huge mistake. Like, I felt like that shockwave of pain. It was like, I may have just, you know, my vertebrae, like some disc is going to flare up in a couple years from now, and I'm going to think back to this day on the lake. And you know what? It was worth it because it was fear, awesome.
Is it also the fear? The fear that's like, oh man, I'm too old for this. Like, it's like, dude, your inner conscience is telling you, like, this was really, really bad. Like, this is going to be really awful.
Why did I think it was a smart idea to jump off a 20-foot platform onto...
Your maturity kicks in. You get that clarity, right?
But you get that clarity midair. And then you feel the pain through your spine, and you're like,
dude, Jesse,
the second you
step off,
you're like, oh no, this is it.
Jesse, I told you this story years ago, but like I was up at a big gathering, and they rented out a Young Life camp. So it was all adults and families and stuff, but we had the run of the place and could play with all the Young Life, you know, attractions. And the staff was there. So like we literally were like teenagers. And so they had one of these parks, they had the big blob and there was a big lagoon or, you know, bay. And I remember, I wanted to try it. And, Johnny Quinn, I think his name is, he was an Olympic bobsledder, like big, huge jack guy. He was like the guy who'd push the bobsleds. He was launching everybody off. So he would like adults would sit on the end and Johnny Quinn would boom. And dude, so I did it. You're talking about the moment of clarity. I was about 60 feet in the air and I'm going, what am I doing with my life? You know what I'm saying? He shot me a football field away. It was insane. But that, the moment of clarity, right at the peak of it, where you're just like, What am I doing? How am I going to land?
You know, doesn't it feel like an eternity? Yep. Too? Like it's like it's really 3 seconds, but it feels like 30 minutes.
Dude, and you're just wondering, I'm looking at my life choices.
I'm plotting how I'm going to land. Oh yeah,
how bad is this going to hurt? The other thing too is, like I said, you learn about the last vestiges of lawlessness in this country are inside the grounds of campgrounds. Like anything goes back there. You're voluntarily going into you're not quite on the grid, but you're not quite off of it. Like I said, you're in this gray zone where kind of anything goes back there, you know, and it's a whole culture of people that are going from campground to campground. I found about a whole thing where there's a website. I was talking to these people. There's a website that you can go live at campgrounds for free if you take care of maintenance issues on the campgrounds. Like it's called like Camp to Work or something. So a lot of these people just go on this website, find campgrounds that need them for a couple weeks and just pop around. That's the whole life. It's just life. It's modern day pirate culture. And you know what, guys? I'm kind of here for it.
Hey, you know the other time that you get that moment of what am I doing with my life? Like you do when you're midair after an Olympic bobsledder launches you off a blob.
What is that?
Anytime you, as an adult, go to the fair, like those rides, like I remember I was like, you know, as a teenager, you're just like, whatever, you know, they're not safe, but who cares? I was on we have a thing called a fun spot, and it's kind of like a permanent carnival fair thing in Kissimmee. You're very familiar. They have those things where it's like, they have them at like Myrtle Beach and Daytona Beach or whatever, where they slingshot you. I'm not talking about the ones that you see the viral videos where they shoot you up. I'm talking about the ones where they pull you up like a pendulum and you're hanging there at the top and they just drop you and you swoop. And it's like, we have the world's
as a person, you're not in a like ride. It's like
you're on a string and you are like, just strapped in onto the string.
No.
Okay. And they literally, you're laying down like on your stomach,
right?
And they pull you. And we have the world's tallest one. It's like 400 feet tall. That's a 40 story building.
Listen,
I did this one time as an adult. And so like they pull you up slowly. And as you go up slowly, your feet are going up first. Obviously your face is facing the ground. They pull you up to the apex, 400 feet in the air, and they just drop you. And then you swoop and you just do this for a few minutes until you, whatever.
Ain't no way.
Dude. The moment that you're at the top and you're just waiting for them to release you, you're looking at the ground, you're 400 feet in the air, and they give you time to think about what you're doing with your life. And I'm sitting there going, I have a kid. What am I doing? I'm thinking about the people I'd be leaving behind, the dreams I would go unfulfilled. I got contemplative.
Also gives you enough time to like look down at the 16-year-old typing on his phone, hitting a vape pen, who's operating the machine and is responsible for your safety.
Yes, dude.
Like, wait,
dude.
Who truly couldn't care if he lived or died.
He tugs on the hardest once while responding to a text message. You know what I mean?
I'm not joking with you. After taking
a drag of bubblegum vape pen.
And when they drop you, obviously you're zooming straight toward the ground, you feel. I mean, you're swooping, looks like you're going straight down.
Bro.
So, dude, I'm telling you, before they released, I literally made my peace with God. I'm like, I literally prayed, like, Lord, if I just plummet straight to the ground and I will see you, your face, and
I'll see
just
you soon, bud.
That you take care of all of my loved ones. And I was ready to die. And then,
Cameron,
dog, dude, why would
never
you
again.
Ever
never
do
again.
When you, like, I didn't know that in your entire
when you get
life.
Off the ride, did you just like go hug your son and like tell him you loved him and you're proud of
like,
him?
You're like trembling. You're like the adrenaline rush that you just experienced. You're just like it's like you see color for the first time. Like you appreciate life. It's like the end of It's a Wonderful Life. I went and hugged everybody that I encountered, and
mine would be terrible if I was on that ride, not just for me, but for the people that are under the ride and around me, because the level of doo-doo that would fly out of my pants and pee that would go, I would literally lose every ounce of liquid in my body from every orifice on everybody. Because that is crazy. You said 400 feet in the air with a harness? Bro,
I'm sure you're insane. I'm sure y'all can Google it real quick.
Why is this in business right now? Why are people everywhere?
We have like four of them. We have four of them in Orlando at different places.
Four? We used to have one here on the oceanfront.
Florida's different, bro. Florida's different, bro.
But here's the thing. Like, we have rides. Like, you go down to iDrive. You know those spinny rides where you sit in a chair with like the chain link, you know, and they spin you around, and it goes all the way up and all the way down. We have the world's largest one of those too, and you drive down the interstate and you see these idiots 300 feet in the air being swung by a chain link thing. This is insane. Dude, people have flown off of that and died.
Bro.
They still operated. Like,
here's to sign the waiver.
Somebody was like, it was like a big high school kid and he couldn't strap in well.
Oh,
and
I remember that.
He got flung off of it.
It was that ride?
Here's the thing.
Why is that thing even still in existence?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. It's lawless.
I don't want to denigrate carnival workers. That's the last thing I want to do. I'm on record about my admiration for their rock and roll lifestyles and devil may care attitudes. But I don't know that they should be trusted with the literal lives of hundreds of people a day. Like, one bad day. Like, you listen, anyone on the show, right, forgets to turn their mic on. Like, one of the, you know, or forgets to record locally, or makes one small error in something we do all the time. You know, stakes are pretty low. They forget that one strap that one day.
Stakes are super high.
The stakes are extremely high.
Every decision that those workers are making.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Again, obviously, their track record's reasonably well from a percentage standpoint.
Gang.
I remember one time in high school, like, watching.
This is insanity.
There was, like, a carnival that came to town, and, like, I think it was, like, across the street from the high school. And the day that they were setting up, we could see it from the classroom. And we were shocked by how quickly they could put it up. But looking back, I'm like, they should not be. I would rather them take their time to put that up. Like, I don't want to see them put up the fastest carnival. I want to see them put up the safest carnival. Because, yeah, all of those things are spinning and going so fast.
Emily, here's the thing. As soon as quickly as they can roll into town and set up, trust me, they can get out of town twice as fast if they need to. They can be,
and they'll never be gone.
I'm saying they're shooting these monstrosities to the sky in like a day. It's like boom, bob, boom. You seeing people hit all this stuff, and I'm like, we are taking chances with our lot. Humans are wild.
And it only costs like $3.
Bro.
Is this only an American thing?
For $3.
Like, are carnivals a thing in like other countries?
I think I'm sure.
They have to be, right?
Y'all, hold on. I'm about to send you the actual ride that I went to. They call it Sky Coaster.
Oh, gosh.
And Derek, you can see how you're just strapped into a rig. There's nothing between you and your face just dangling facing the ground.
Absolutely not.
This one is fun. We have two fun spots in Orlando. This one I just sent y'all is only 250 feet high. I went to the one in Kissimmee, which was even higher. This is the world's second tallest sky coaster at 250 feet.
Oh, for only $40, you can potentially die. That's good to know.
Yep. Yeah, but that's how you're just dangling. You feel like you're just falling. It's horrible.
Dog, this is insanity.
What's crazy is people do it multiple times. What? Like, it's not just like a one time my life's changed. Some people are like, let's do it again. I don't understand that.
Dude, are you watching the video?
Yes, I am watching the video. This video is crazy.
I know. It's insane. This is what I did, and my faith has never been stronger.
How many people was in there? Because I see three people in this one.
It was me. It was just me by myself. Me and God. I got the single rider. I didn't get the family package, you know.
Hold on. Question. Did you go by yourself to do this?
No. No, I had friends. Hey, the friends were going with me. We were all in line together. We got to the front of the line and they bailed.
Yeah. Bro,
and
so I'm like, watching a video of a woman and an 8-year-old in this mug. A guy and a 12-year-old and a 13-year-old in this. Bro.
Is there not an age limit?
We need to call DCS today on everybody that's in this commercial. We are calling Child Services.
Isn't that crazy?
This is wild. Bro, America is... Bro, this ain't even America because they have these... They have to have these worldwide. Yeah, whoever made this up is a genius.
Sky Coaster.
Evil genius, but a genius nonetheless.
It's funny. All right, we'll move the show along. We have a good show in store for you today. Nobody's going to die. Nobody's going to come close to death. For King and Country joins us. They have a new deluxe album coming out. We'll post this. We'll share it this week. But they came on their last album. They came through our studio and performed live. They brought like 40 guys with them. It was insane. It was one of the best performances we had in the Relevant Studios. It was incredible. They're coming up later. You don't want to miss that. We also have your feedback, but stay tuned. Right now, up next, it's Relevant Buzz. Listening to Beach Vacation and Cathedral Bells, the song is Blurred Out.
Not sure what's next after college? Ready to step out of your comfort zone and into something meaningful? Check out the Global Ambassador Program from ELIC. You'll spend 9 months, September to May, on a team of passionate people just like you in Thailand, Tunisia, or Uzbekistan. You'll grow through mentorship, take language classes, immerse yourself in a new culture, and teach English to the local community, all while building real-life skills and making a real impact. Sound good? Head to elic.org/relevant to learn more. Again, that's elic.org/relevant.
Okay, it's time for...
Relevant Buzz.
Tell us what's happening at the intersection of faith and culture this week, Emily.
Yeah, I have some interesting, fun kind of sports news. The upcoming...
Have sports news?
I know.
This is crazy.
Let's hear it.
I wanted y'all to be happy and proud of me for bringing up sports news.
I am extremely proud of you.
Yeah.
I literally thought you were going to give us an update on the new episode of Claim to Fame. So I'm glad that you're going the sports direction.
Wait, Derek, you weren't here last week. Do you watch Claim to Fame?
I've never heard of it.
Okay.
It's hosted by the Bonus Jonas.
Give me 10 seconds. Brother. You need to watch it. It's hosted by two of the Jonas brothers, arguably the two least famous ones. and it's a show about people who are all related to celebrities, and they have to figure out who their celebrity relative is, and nobody is good at guessing.
It's like Big Brother. They're living in a house together, and you get clues.
Yeah.
And the last person standing to not get guessed, if you get guessed, you get out, you win $100,000. So it's all these like uncles and nephews or brothers of very, very famous people like Eddie Murphy, Lil Nas X, President Jimmy Carter, Tom Hanks, people like that. But it's these obscure family members that are on
Charlie
the show
Murphy
competing for money.
In the show?
Oh, God rest his soul. Come on, man.
Dead, man.
Oh, I forgot about that. Sorry.
No, it is his daughter.
Delete.
Yeah, my bad.
Delete. Throw it away.
Anyways, it's kind of the best show on TV right now, and I think everyone should watch it. Claim to Fame.
Yeah. Emily was pushing it last week.
I'm going to push for it to get an Emmy somehow so that way it can keep going.
Okay, full disclosure. Yesterday evening, after hours, I was watching Claim to Fame and did text and then call Emily to discuss said episode. Yeah. So
at all times, I'm ready to talk about Claim to Fame. That's kind of all I want to talk about. But since no one else wants to talk about that, we can talk about the new Madden NFL game that's coming out, the soundtrack is going to feature quite a few Christian rap artists, which is really exciting.
Derek, tell us all about it, please.
I don't know. I just know it got a lot of Christian rappers on there. I'm not one of them, but it's cool.
Yeah, I do want to ask, why aren't you on there? You need to be on there next time. Next,
because his new album's coming out too late.
You know what I'm
saying? He'll be on next year's.
You know what I'm saying? It's just, look. We got some work to do. I'm trying to get on 2K. That's my. I did get on a 2K commercial, so we're working on that. You know
okay,
I mean?
There you go.
Yeah, but
all right. Well, next year it'll be featuring starring Derek Minor, but this year, Lecrae, Andy Mineo, Toby Nwigwe, NF are on there. Like, there's just a lot of artists that maybe even if they're not fully Christian hip hop artists, they are Christian, comma, hip hop artists. So, which is just really exciting. And I think, I really like it.
It makes sense on two levels to me. Number one, Christian rap has gotten good. I'm sorry, but the era where it was second tier is over. It's good.
Done.
So there's great music coming out. Number two, these video games don't really want to have all the explicit sex stuff. You know, it's family friendly entertainment. So clean content with good music. It makes sense to me. Yeah. You know, so
I'll say this for sure. It's a great way to get exposure because I'm not a big video game person, but my son likes to play Madden 2009, which I have on an old Xbox. To give you it doesn't connect to the internet. It just is you know, old school Madden. It's Drew Brees on the cover. That's for frame of reference. But he knows the Lil Wayne song "Let It Rock" because it plays on the menu screen when you're like setting up your team. He knows the entirety of a song that came out, you know, years before he was born, just from playing old school
placements.
Madden.
Placements are huge for artists. I mean, Cohen became fans of artists because of Forza and other games where there's good soundtracks, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it just goes to show, like, one, how good music can be transcendent, too. Because, like, people are putting Toby and NF on these soundtracks, not because they're Christians, but just because the music is fire and it's transcendent. Right. You know what I'm saying? So I think that I love that. That's one thing that I do say that I love about making music now. There's not a lot of barriers and boxes. Like, people are just like, if I resonate with the song, I'm adding it to my playlist, and that's what it is. You know, and I think this is a huge testament to that.
Yeah. And I really think that, like, Christian hip hop specifically, they've done probably one of the best jobs of, like, it doesn't matter what your maybe faith background is, like, everybody's listening to it, which is, like, super cool.
For sure.
So. Unlike worship music, is that what you're saying?
I didn't want to say that.
Worship music hasn't crossed over.
Well, I mean,
worship music hasn't crossed over. Right?
I don't know if Lauren Daigle's making it on a Madden soundtrack.
Crazy.
You imagine?
Hey, you know what? Now, here's the funny thing, though. I was watching TikTok and I saw a WWE video with Kirk Franklin stomp on it, and Shawn Michaels was sweet chin musicking everybody. It's the best video I've ever seen in my life.
No way.
So if there's any candidate, stomp needs to be on something. Like, we need to get Kirk on something.
But
for
was
sure.
he like stomping people at to stomp like as a wrestling?
So
move?
Literally, when it's like stomp, and he's kicking him in the chin, and it fly, like it's the best WWE recap I've ever seen. It's hilarious.
That's funny. Funny.
We need someone to unpack the theological implications of that at some point. Not none of us, but I would like to hear what.
Wait, yeah, okay. I looked up the lyrics just to be sure. One of the lyrics is, "And when I think about your goodness, it makes me want to stomp."
Yeah,
that feels weird. Oh, to he's like.
Just saying, he's just saying praise dancing. Yeah, right. He's just praise dancing. Well,
exactly, but that's my point here. Make me clap my hands. Make me want to dance. Stomp. So he's saying it's like raising my hands. It's like, so what the song is intended to say, this is a way to
dance like David.
This is
dance,
a way
man.
To express your admiration and worship to the Lord. But it also could be a wrestling move where I'm stomping on somebody's face wearing a unitard.
Listen, check your text messages. This just video is amazing.
That's good.
That is amazing.
That's good. That's good.
That's
good.
That's pretty good.
That's good.
See, we need more of that. That's what
That's
we need.
That's what we need.
Why not?
That's what we need.
Why not? There were some very aggressive jorts in that video as well.
That's good. Good. It's good. All right. Anyway, what else do we have, Emily?
Sticking with sports news, but
let's
go. I know. We're going to talk about what's been going on with the family that was the subject of the movie The Blind Side. I don't know if you guys have been keeping up with this.
Yes. This is crazy.
So the subject of the story, Michael O'Hare, he filed a petition in Tennessee court on Monday alleging that parts of his story had been fabricated to benefit the Tuohy family that took him in. And they were, you know, they were the subject of the film. Sandra Bullock won an Oscar. So he filed this petition saying that parts of his story have been fabricated to benefit the family. And as the days have come out, there's been more and more stuff that's revealed. It's kind of turned into almost a he said, she said. So we're going to cover what he said has happened and what the family said has happened. No one on this podcast is a legal expert by any means, but this is a subject that...
That doesn't stop me from posting like one on Twitter.
Exactly. I watched enough Legally Blonde growing up, so I really think that I basically have a full law degree. But anyway, so... According to Michael, what happened is back in 2004, he had just turned 18 a few months before, and he was told that he would be adopted by the family. It turns out they were actually brought on as conservators, as in a conservatorship, which I think most of us, our knowledge of that word is extended to the Britney Spears case. But they were assigned on as conservators, which gave them legal authority to make business deals in his name. And so according to the lawsuit, he has said that because of that, they have kept money from him and that they made money from the movie, The Blind Side, and that he didn't get to see that money. And then he also said that he was just personally hurt by not being fully part of the family and felt like he had kind of been kept away from them. The family responded and said that he did know that it was conservatorship, that he had always been aware of that, and that they still treated him as if he was like family, even though legally there was obviously like a difference there. They also said that the only money that they received from the Blind Side film, they got like a flat fee of about $70,000, and it was split between them. So each of them got about $14,000. That's all they ever made. They didn't make more. He alleges that they have made more. And so that's what's kind of being figured out in court, is where is the truth and what's really going on here.
I remember on his part, he said that he's never received any money. So yeah. When she says it's split, was it split equally among everyone but him?
It sounds like.
If that's the case.
That's what he's alleging.
That's what he's.
That's
they're
crazy.
Saying that he did receive money. He's saying that he didn't.
Okay. That's what I was asking. Right.
So that's where it gets.
Are they saying that, hey, we split it equally, or are they admitting to splitting it amongst themselves and him not receiving
from
money?
What she has said, or sorry, the husband spoke, Sean, what he has said, they split it evenly, including him. So they said that it was, I think, yeah, they said like 14,000.
My assumption as a non-legal expert is that there's also beyond that initial rights fee, that the money, you know, that small amount that they got paid for their story. Probably there's other monetary opportunities that came across their path, endorsement deals, speaking gigs, right, book deals, and that they monetized that, and he was probably left out of that. And, you know, I'm assuming, just looking at it unbiased, like the family's perspective might have been, oh, well, he went into the NFL. He doesn't need money from the book deal for the book that I wrote about our story or whatever. And it just created a wedge. They had a falling apart. And it's just really sad to, you know, they have this, what could have been an uplifting, positive story. It turns out that it was kind of a lot murkier than the movie made it out to be.
Which is really sad.
Yeah.
Really I think any inspirational story that they adapt for a film, unless it's a documentary where it's straight up telling the truth, I think they should do like the Flaming Hot Cheeto route and just fabricate it. Just make it up.
Just make it up.
Inspire everyone. And just don't worry about it, how it's acting.
Man, that was
like I said,
crazy.
I appreciate the hustle. And even in the statement, they're like, look, man, the guy's living his truth. Even if his truth is made up, it's still... It was kind of like, you know what? Props to that guy, because I'm more inspired by his ability to have a fictional story made into a movie than I am about the original. That's more impressive than inventing Flamin' Hot Cheetos. So...
The Flamin' Hot Cheeto movie has the most audacious, and I know that's produced by Devon Franklin, but he's been on this podcast many times. I'm not trying to talk bad about him, but the marketing of that movie literally said in the trailer, this is a true story. Yeah. And the guy who is the subject of the story said, that did not happen. That is not what happened at all. Cheeto says that did not happen. Y'all are just straight up making this up 100%. And they knew it in court.
So
they knew it.
Wait a second. So Richard The guy that's in the movie said, "I didn't invent the Cheetos." Yeah.
Dude, it was
Cheetos said I didn't invent it.
It was a lady in Texas. It was a lady in Texas. And it's like documented in court and everything that this is actually what happened. And he says, yeah, that is what happened. But he went around as a motivational speaker and started telling this narrative, and it was a better story.
I think he makes himself part of the narrative. Like, he's not like,
part of it. Here's what Emily and I think happened. This lady, the flavor testing lab in Texas came up with the idea for these spicy versions, right? And probably he, being, you know, a target demographic market in the, you know, California Hispanic market, they brought him in as an employee to do a taste test and give us feedback on what you like about these new flavors or don't like. And he probably said, "Oh, I like this spicy one." And they're like, and they ran with it and tested it and it worked. And somehow, because he said that he liked it, he got credited for inventing it.
Here's my point, though. Isn't that crazy? I didn't know. But all this is documented.
Dude, this is what actually would happen.
Blindside mess is if we just make up all our inspirational true stories right now. Just find inspirational stories out there.
And then put it in the trailer. This is a true story. Yeah. Even just lie. Who cares?
That's what I'm saying. It avoids all this drama years later. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just make it up.
I love it.
Nobody cares. I'm still inspired by the story, even if it didn't happen. You know? I said it's even more inspiring.
My brain has
exploded.
It's
even more inspiring that they were able to get them.
What, that Hollywood fabricated an inspirational movie? And made everyone believe it.
No.
I'm pretty impressed.
But that everyone knows that it's wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like everyone knows this is not true. Yeah. Like, that's the thing that's crazy is like...
Here's, it's well documented.
Right.
But, and right before the movie rights even got purchased by the production company and Eva Longoria and all that stuff, the LA Times... LA, Hollywood, the LA Times wrote this huge series of investigation about the Flamin' Hot Cheetos story. And like, so it was publicly known. Despite that, they bought the rights to the story and wrote this script and then marketed it as a true story when it is widely and publicly known that no element of the story is true. Isn't that crazy?
Some might say inspirational.
Exactly.
That's wild. That's wild. It's not as wild as you know, flying around 400 feet in the air on a shoestring.
But yeah, where's his story?
Yeah. It's pretty
wild.
That's
what I'm saying. Blindside could have avoided this if they just fabricated a complete story about an NFL player from the ground up. And then no one's arguing, you know? And people are still inspired. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Still inspired. All right. What's the last thing you have, Emily?
Last thing I have is just a very interesting report that came out from the American Bible Society last week. 34% of Gen Z identify as non-religious. So either agnostic, atheist, or none at all, which is just more than any other generation.
How does that compare? Like, how much more?
So millennials were 29%, Gen X 22%, boomers 18%, elders 9%. So,
and Gen Z is 34.
So one out of every three Gen Z, if you ask them, will identify as, you know, atheist, agnostic, or nothing at all.
Wow.
So, which is,
but then this study, I think this study was put out by American Bible Society or something. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes.
And I think within it, they had follow-up questions for the agnostic people. And they are way more spiritually curious and interested than other generations. They just are more skeptical and less likely to believe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. 56% of young Gen Z, which is ages 18 to 21, said that they are very or extremely curious. So it is interesting. I think it's interesting that Gen Z is very concerned about labels, and so they don't want to label themselves as something that they don't actually believe, which I do think is good. Like, I mean,
I think it's good.
Growing up in the Bible Belt, everyone was Christian, but it was like, I know you're not, you know, but it was like,
that's
one of those things. So
I'm not afraid of this at all. This is a good thing. Like, I respect this because it's like, you know, our parents just dragged us to church. We grew up Christian, and then when we go off and live however we want when we're adults, but if a surveyor was to come ask us, we'd be like, yeah, we're Christian. But I'm not spiritually hungry. I'm not curious. I'm not looking into it for myself. I take it for granted kind of a thing. And then this generation, you know, their parents didn't drag them to church. because, you know, church attendance is going down every generation. So they didn't grow up in church. They don't have that cultural mindset that I grew up Christian. So do you have faith? No, but I'm interested and I'm curious and I'm looking, I'm spiritually hungry. That's actually maybe a healthier place to be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. All right.
Real quick. I read a quote after all of this came out, because this guy, who is Richard in the movie, as you know, he did go from like janitor to a high up position at the Frito-Lay company, you know?
Yeah.
I love Eva Longoria's quote. She said, "I never wanted to tell the history of the Flamin' Hot Cheeto," acting like, why are you guys, you know, even making this about Flamin' Hot Cheetos?
Your trailer says, based on an inspirational true story.
I'm looking at the movie poster. Mind you, the movie's called Flamin' Hot. The flavor you right. know, the story you don't. Exactly.
Yeah, because it's not a true story.
Yeah, we don't know the story.
Yeah, you don't know the story because you know the true story. You don't know our fake story.
That it was cooked up in by professional food scientists in a lab somewhere, you know? But again, I appreciate more that they were able to convince everyone that this happened and just fabricated it. Good for them. Good for them.
Yeah, there you go.
This is wild.
Isn't that wild? Yeah. I just, the thing that when it came out, Emily, I just couldn't get over the fact that it's not that they changed the story. It's not that they Hollywooded it and fictionalized it to make it more dramatic, make it more inspirational. Fine, whatever. It's 2 hours. You have 2 hours to tell something that happened over years, right?
Right, right.
No, the fact that they knew that this was completely fabricated and still marketed it as a true story. The trailer literally is showing you footage and stops and puts on the screen based on a true story.
Don't
and
it's hate just the player, like, hate the game. Okay.
Hey man, this is America. You can do
that
whatever
is the
you
American dream.
As long as you're confident, as long as you never as long apologize, as you
double
just
down.
Do
as
it
as and double down. As you're confident.
They can make a sequel.
I love
they
it.
Can make a sequel where he becomes like an astronaut or like a PGA pro or something. And it's like, man, his story just got way more inspiring. I'm in. Let's hear what this guy can do. Anything.
You know, what I should do? Mars. I should make a documentary and just all of the things that I wish were true about me, just make them true in
make
the documentary.
True. Yeah. Done.
Like, dude. I'm going to just have like dude, Michael B. Jordan play me. No,
that's
I'm going to have
saying.
Somebody
recast
with,
yourself. Exactly. Yeah, Michael B. Jordan is you. Yeah,
like,
do
exactly.
It.
Imagine
no
like Forrest Gump, if they had just told people this is a true story. You didn't hear about this guy? Oh, yeah, he's a big deal back in the day. We made a whole movie about him. You know?
Okay. Whoa, what?
You know what? Growing
Jesse,
up,
somebody did tell me that was a
I
true story.
I heard that
story.
Too.
That's crazy, Emily, for real.
Yes.
Somebody told me, like, you know, that's a true story, right? I'm sitting here like a kid. My mind is blown. I'm like, this guy well, is crazy.
I thought that for a long, for probably too long. I was like, I can't believe that like all really happened. Well, and then I think as I found out what actually happened in like U.S. history and then I watched it again, I was like, oh, there's no way that's true. Like
he wasn't there.
But why stop there?
He didn't invent jogging. Yeah. He didn't end the Vietnam War and then invent
but
jogging.
Why not any, so, why not any movie? Yeah. It's hey, like look. Yeah, you didn't hear the plot of Rambo 2 where he retroactively wins the Vietnam War. You didn't hear about that guy? Oh yeah. He's living in
National
in Jackson
though, yeah.
Hole right now. He's doing great. Oh, Batman, Dark Knight. Oh yeah, you forgot about that? It must have slipped out of the billionaire who was fought the clown guy. Oh yeah,
it's
a documentary.
All right, well, that'll do it for Relevant Buzz. Make sure to check out everything we're posting over at relevantmagazine.com, covering the intersection of faith, culture, and everything in between. All right, thanks, Emily. Stay tuned. Up next for King and Country, join us. You're listening to Chai. The song is Neo Kawaii, okay?
She was a chronic people pleaser with an unfulfilling career in Hollywood until she surprised everyone by joining a convent. Equal parts tell all and rallying cry, Sister Monica Claire's memoir, A Change of Habit, reveals how much we stand to gain when we fully embrace our authentic selves. Sister Helen Prejean says it's, quote, for anyone who needs a little love, a little faith right now. A Change of Habit, Leaving Behind My Husband, Career, and Everything I Owned to Become a Nun by Sister Monica Claire is available now wherever books are sold.
Well, our guests today are Joel and Luke Smallbone, a.k.a. for King and Country. They're one of our favorite Christian groups, and they are releasing the deluxe version of their album, What Are We Waiting For? We sat down with them to talk about what fans can expect from the new version of the album and how their music was inspired by the post-apocalyptic version of Mad Max and Dune. Here's our conversation with For King and Country. So what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? Why are we wasting all the time like someone's making more? What are we praying for? What are we saving for? What if we could be the light that no one could ignore? What are we waiting for?
How are you guys doing today?
We're a little haggard.
We have had an unbelievable 48 hours, and that is on nobody else other than ourselves.
We did it to ourselves.
We're going to go eat donuts later today, just to eat our feelings and see how we go.
No, it's been a great 24 hours. It's 48 hours. It's just been 48 hours ago. We were in New Mexico. Yeah. We had a show the night before last in New Mexico. Then we basically flew through the night, did not sleep a lot, to the Iowa State Fair. And played the show there last night till about midnight. And then we also released this music video yesterday. So we have been, we've been hustling as musicians do, as
you know. Yeah, you guys have had, I feel like I have done nothing in the last 48 hours compared to what you guys have done.
Well, I wish you could have thought of us as you crawled into your cozy bed each night.
Is that like a crazy 48 hours, or is that pretty normal
for you? That was
like
pretty crazy. It used to be when we were coming up as a band, you know, 7 years ago or so. It used to be much more normal. We have hopefully learned and understood that we have to be work smart and not
harder.
Yeah,
at that point, death was imminent, you know, when we were doing those types of things. now we're death isn't quite so imminent. I think that, I actually said this to Atsuma Manager. I'm like, man, you know, you can do a crazy day. You can do it once, you know, in a week. Yeah. It's when you do it back to back that you just see like health suffering, people getting sick left, right, and center. So today, morale's going down. Today we all got a good night's sleep and we'll be all right.
Yeah, hopefully you'll get some donuts, like you said. That'll lift your spirits.
Right. We already found it. Gramps. Gramps is the local place. Gramps.
That's where we're going.
We're going to go to Gramps. Okay. Coffee and donuts.
Well, thank you so much for making time for me today, especially knowing all the travels you've been through to get here. I really appreciate it.
I like that we've just spent 4 minutes digesting our, licking our wounds from our last 48 hours. Thank you for...
I feel like y'all needed that a little bit.
Therapy session, hot interview.
Yeah, so that's the goal always, is so that you can have a little bit of rest and I get some fun insight into your crazy lives. I feel like that's a good balance. Anyways, we can move on from the therapy time because we got to be talking about the deluxe album, which you're releasing. What can you tell me? What's new about this version?
It's interesting, Emily, because when we actually worked on the album, you know, 2 years ago, released it last year, we'd have this idea of wanting the record title-wise to stand on its own 2 feet, which was the question, what are we waiting for? Because we felt like people would interpret it in its own way. They would tie it to individual songs on the record. But all along the way, we had a song under the title, What Are We Waiting For? We kind of wanted to delineate it from the record for a moment. And so part of the hope was to stagger the release of the album and the song, which is what we did. So we released the song a little over a year after the album. And then this music video, like I mentioned, to the song as of yesterday. So that will, the deluxe ends up becoming sort of a catch-all for, it will actually be the ultimate version of the record. So what are we waiting for? We'll actually start the deluxe. We're going to take songs like, you know, Love Me Like I Am with Jordan Sparks that weren't on the original record and tie that into the record appropriately. You know, For God Is With Us with Hillary Scott, pull that in. And then we've also, worked harder than we should have on a brand new song called Better Man, which is kind of it's a love song. It's really a commitment to our wives as to the kind of men that we want to be in relationship and in love. And again, it feels like it's this, what we love about Deluxe is they become this kind of nice, you know, ties everything in a bow. It's the culmination of the album, really. But I also love that it'll be the most complete version of itself as well. I don't know what it's like to be you. You don't know what it's like to be me. What if we're all the same in different kinds of ways? Can you relate?
How do you feel like these new songs and these, like, the things that you've added, how do you feel like it maybe changes the message of the album, or does it change the message?
Well, I look at Deluxe as a little bit of a, you know, when you announce an album, you're kind of announcing a new era, right? And in some cases, that mm-hmm. era for an album, you know, lasts for a year and a half, 2 years. And what you realize is, as artists, is a year and a half, 2 years, there's going to be new iterations. There's going to be, as Joel explained, there's going to be new remixes. There's going to be all this other, and in some cases, the Deluxe is like the almost the nail in the coffin of the era. It takes everything that took place in that time, and it links it all together. And when I think it takes, I think for both Joel and I, when it comes to the message of it, I mean, having the what are we waiting for and Better Man on the Deluxe, I think it makes it complete, because these were songs that were around when we released the album. I think that this is, I don't necessarily know if it changes the message at all as much as it is, this is the final iteration of what we dreamt up several years ago. And so now I think for both Joel and I, we can look at it and we go, it's now complete. You know, it's now officially finished. And I actually kind of like that new albums are like that, because you discover things as you kind of get adjusted to the new material, the new songs, that you find certain things and you hear certain things. And so to have a couple of these other songs that now we kind of get to have as the finished product, if there were any holes, these fill the holes of what you kind of originally dreamt up. And I like that.
It's an interesting way to think about a Deluxe version as a kind of like the final version, like you said, of the era, which is something that I think y'all have always had so much fun with. Like, I know a few years ago y'all had sort of like this pirate persona, and y'all have been doing the music video yesterday, you know, like a mixture of like Mad Max and Dune, which I want to know, like, of all the things you could get inspired from, why Mad Max and Dune?
I've never even seen the movies.
Well, it's just, what's interesting about music videos and deluxes and albums is we're discovering the album as people discover it. You know, it's this interesting process where you create something and you have no idea how people are going to feel about it. And then you release it to the world and you see what people respond to. You see what you respond to live. You start playing the music. You learn the music. It learns you. You give the music away to other people. And it really takes on a whole new life. That said, with the kind of album, like you said, Burn the Ships was very kind of nautical and period. We almost went in the other direction with this. We went sort of post-apocalyptic, you know, leaped ahead, you know, hopefully a few thousand years. And it became this allegory for really what we've sensed, you know, culture, communities, really the world has walked through over the last few years. And that is, it's been a bit of a social, political, racial death of sorts. It's been there's been this kind of dying that has happened through the pandemic. And so we wanted to kind of emulate that in the from everything from the album cover to this culminating music video. But what's really beautiful is there's always new life on the other side. This is the cycle of life, right? There's beauty on the other side. There's innocence on the other side. There's discovery. If you can push through it, there's discovery. And the very thing that was trying to kill you can make you stronger. And so we've just had kind of a bit of a field day exploring that from beginning it to end, if you will, of this album. And that's what's really fun, Emily, is like this music video really feels like the culmination, as does the Deluxe. It feels like this is the punctuation point. And we're kind of ending the album where we started the album, visually, sentimentally, And so this, again, my OCD is just is going wild right now with the symmetry of this.
That was Joel and Luke Smallbone, a.k.a. For King and Country. Make sure to check out the deluxe version of What Are We Waiting For? It's out now. All right, stay tuned up next. It's your feedback. You're listening to Slow Dive. The song is Skin in the Game.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Okay, it's time for your feedback. On last week's show, we got talking about some of Jesse's college pranks, and or we got talking about y'all. It was your feedback, and something about the Ronald McDonald statue at a McDonald's was stolen. Jesse was talking about he and his friends were planning to steal it too, all that kind of stuff. And so we wanted to ask you, what's the most random thing that you have stolen? You hit us up on Twitter/X at Relevant Podcast and Threads and Instagram stories. And here's a few of our favorites.
I want to know how y'all got here. This is the fact that we're on this question of the week is wild.
Jesse, help me remember. How did we get here?
Yeah, I think it was.
And it was like the guy was walking around with the unbolted the Ronald McDonald and he brought it to school or something like that. I don't remember. Yeah. But anyway. Yeah, just got his Oh, you know what? It was because of Marty. Because he grew up stealing a bunch of stuff. Tell us.
I went to Taco Bell after a doubleheader at the minor league baseball game. And it was clearly the late shift did not care. They gave me an entire like jumbo takeout bag filled to the brim with hot sauces. I've been eating Taco Bell hot sauces every day. Your stomach has to be made of steel.
Bro, it has to be made out of some real crazy. Talk. That mug is real made talk. Otherworldly Wakandan real tech.
Dana, my wife, made tacos for the family on Monday of this week. When I got, and guess what she brought out? Big bag of Taco Bell sauce. I loaded my homemade tacos with Diablo sauce. Okay. I've been making Diablo omelets, guys. Little zip right in the morning, little eye opener. It's fantastic.
First thing in the morning, Diablo's.
put some hair on the dog right there. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
The most random thing you've ever stolen. Here you go.
I can't believe people admitted it, honestly.
I did tell them that the internet is a safe space and that they can share legally their past sins.
Yeah, I meant to look at the statute of limitations.
You can't be indicted.
Angela Green, she said, "Lord, sweet Jesus, forgive me. I stole an MC Hammer CD. I had to repent of stealing, but more importantly, having terrible taste in music." Wait a second, come on now. We ain't gonna hate on Hammer.
But it depends on which Hammer CD. This is a 2004 Hammer CD. If this was the good early 90s Hammer, you gotta clarify here. Which Hammer?
Right.
I'm loving Gina's response. She said, this is not her, but her brother and his friends.
Have you seen her?
When Pizza Hut Tell was me, the place to frequent after youth group, they put one of the round pizza pans into the pizza box with leftovers. Sometime later, one of the friends dates the waitress and confesses. She remembers and threatens to break up with him. Because apparently she got in some trouble.
What? Oh, she got in trouble.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was her fault. AJ, I remember doing this. Assuming temporary theft counts, working at an Applebee's, we lifted one of the montage picture frames off the wall in the restaurant area, took a basketball-themed glamour shot of ourselves to replace the photos, and mounted the frame in the restaurant for years to come. Real talk, we used to do this all the time. Like, at, like...
Really?
When it was That's one of those, crazy. Like... that it was like a Fuddruckers or...
Yeah,
all the tchotchkes just everywhere, like old fishing poles and a tennis racket and photos and like trophies and just knickknacks. We would bring random stuff, you know. It started one day because they had like a little game where you could win like Beanie Babies, like in a little claw machine. And we won one and we didn't know what to do. So we just put it up in the corner, like on the mantle with all the junk. And the next time we went in there, it was still there. We would bring items just from our homes, just random things from our homes, and place them around the restaurant. You'd be surprised how long that stuff would stay up.
AJ went to the next level, taking the pictures of himself and putting them in the frames.
Brought one.
This is crazy.
He didn't even need to replace one. He could just added one.
Well, I got a story. It's not me, but I had a homie that used to work at McDonald's. And this man stole a whole box of chicken nuggets.
Took them home, fried them up himself. Just like, yo,
this man was eating McNuggets for like a month. It was crazy. We go over there and it was sad. But for sure.
That's funny. All right. Well, there's a lot more where that came from. Go check it out. You guys are a bunch of degenerates. Okay. It's time for this week's
editorial question of the week.
All right. Earlier in the show, we were talking about floating water parks and carnival rides. And we've all found ourselves, some of us have found ourselves in those situations from time to time where you have that moment of clarity and think to yourself, I immediately regret this. Like, what am I doing with my life? So that's what we wanted to know from you. What has been your, I immediately regret this moment? And we will read our favorites on next week's show.
A huge mistake. Yeah. Yeah. It's that moment where you're standing on top of the giant inflatable pyramid, about to jump down 30 feet onto like an inflatable thing to
fling
a strange child, a kid you don't know, into a lake. And you can't, there's no turning back because people on the beach are cheering at this point. And there's only one thing more humiliating than suffering a lifelong back injury, a spinal injury from jumping off that pyramid and by landing on the balloon. That's climbing back down the balloon in shame and leaving that kid and everyone on the beach in disappointment. I'd rather go with a spinal injury and maintain some dignity than hang my head at the campsite for the rest of the weekend. Yeah. That ain't happening.
This is where we differ. Because I'd have been like, you know what? See, the way my knees are set up. Hey, come on
up
here.
You're already up there. Now
I yell at a teenager out here. Hey, you with your shirt off.
You should have thought about that before you climbed up and got everyone's ropes thing. Up.
When you were telling this story, I really thought you were going to end it with, and that's why I have this cast on my leg right now. Like, I really thought you had like fully broken something.
Like I said, I feel like...
Are you walking around with like a cane these days?
I'm just saying the back has been totally normal, but I wasn't going to climb back down. Not with everyone. Like I said, the kid, what, I'm just going to leave the kid laying there on the inflatable and leave everyone on the beach who's like, go.
Yes.
They were cheering.
You're absolutely going. Yeah, yes.
But you also don't know these people and you'll never see them again.
Listen.
Ever.
It had a platform and then it had like a railing area and I climbed up on the they were cheering top rope, like the wrestling term. I was not going to not do it. Okay.
Was Kirk Franklin playing in the background as you were doing this?
In my head and my heart.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. No.
That's funny. All right. So hit us up. Well, before we wrap things up, I want to thank For King and Country for joining us today. Make sure you check out the deluxe version of What Are We Waiting For? It's out now. Also, make sure to check out the summer issue of Relevant. Just click the magazine tab right there at relevantmagazine.com and you can read it for free. We got a cover story with Lauren Daigle, Arizona, Drew Holcomb, Naomi Rain, and so much more. And make sure to check out the Relevant Plus memberships. It is the best way to experience our content ad-free. You get extra podcasts and ad-free reading and listening and a deluxe version of the magazine as well. You can find out all the information right there at the website. Plans start as low as $250 a month. Also, we are looking to hire a podcast editor, video editor, social media manager, project manager, couple people. Go check out all the info at relevantmediagroup.com, relevantmediagroup.com, and you can apply there. Okay, on that note, we will wrap things up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Derek Miner.
I'm Emily Brown.
We'll see you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend, everyone.
For listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
Make me clap my hands. Make me want to dance. Stomp.
Relevant Podcast Network.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.